Praise the Lord. Now, junior high and high school, I know some of you. The high school's a little different because for some reason over 22 years, the high school kids have kind of wanted to stay in and hear some preaching. And praise God. And there's some that probably would want to go to a youth group. And so we're still praying about, we've always sent out our youth group as well, but we're in a season where I believe it's good for junior high and high school kids to stay in and really receive some preaching. And y'all know me, I'm going to get down to everybody's level, right? And there's no reason to preach over everybody's head, so I make it simplistic as I can. I want you to know that, you know, we don't have to have a bunch of theologian words and all these words that the these thous and thuses that we don't understand anyway. Now, you know what I want to know? Number one, how to get to heaven. But then I want to know that we can have heaven here on earth, because you don't need peace in heaven. Amen. Because the Prince of Peace is already there. But where do we need peace? Here. We don't need joy there. The joy of the Lord is there. Jesus, we need joy here. And I can preach for hours on one scripture about the fall and why Jesus had to then come and his birth and then his resurrection that we'll celebrate around April. But I don't have to. You know why? It's because we pretty much understand those kind of details. I want to know about the return of the Lord. I want to know about what does it mean when the archangel shouts like a trumpet. I want to know what it means when the Bible says the clouds will separate and then the dead in Christ, the glorified bodies, because they're not glorified when they're in that dirt or wherever they're at. I mean, glorified bodies are going to get to be called up. And then the Bible says the elect. If you're the elect, raise your hand. And I hope everybody raises your hand. Now, if you don't raise your hand, then possibly you may need to get saved today. Yes. Say amen to that, y'all. Because we always have people saved at this church. It's an amazing church. It's just the anointing on it. And they may not stick here. God might have brought them in to get saved, and then they go to another church somewhere that doesn't, you know, really preach salvation. And there's a lot of that, y'all. Most of y'all know that people come constantly finding a church that they can get born again into. Because there's lots of them that only talk about discipleship and mentorship. And I believe in both of those things. But Kenny, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, and the only way to get born again is through Jesus, right? That's John 14. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but through me, Jesus. And so, if you don't get born again, then it's hard to disciple you. Amen? Now, the rest of you born again folk, we're going to disciple you and we're going to teach you the Word of God the best we can. But you got to get saved first. So, with that said, I want to preach the Word of God in high school and junior high. Y'all hang out with us and just receive a great word found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I preached this message very briefly at the casino in Resorts World a couple of weeks ago at the National Finals Rodeo. And I had a world champion bareback rider come and give his testimony, Jess Pope. And then I had a lot of other contestants that, you know, Las Vegas is a very busy place. lot of you probably have never gone, and it's not just a place that I'd probably, encourage to visit. But when the rodeo is there, then you got to bring Jesus there. And you can't be afraid, even in a casino. And most of y'all know when we got back, I told you about us also doing music, and I preached. I didn't realize I was going to be preaching, but at the Orleans Casino on a Sunday night, and it was right before the rodeo, and they gather everybody and they have watch parties. And at that casino just happened to be our announcer at the rodeo, Jody Carper, and he runs that, and he brings in special guests and has a big, usually a well-known band before. Well, he asked me, Daryl, and Ricky to come. And, of course, Jamie and their two wives came as well. And we played. He interviewed me. And then he said this, "Why don't you preach to us, Corey?" And I'm talking about right in the middle of the casino. I mean, the slot machines are going. I said, "Okay, praise the Lord." And it was a packed out place, and I just began to preach Jesus. You see, you shouldn't ever be afraid to preach Jesus. During that Sunday service, though, I told that group, a lot of barrel racers showed up, a lot of rough stock guys. There was steer wrestlers that showed up and team ropers. You know, just contestants, praise God. Because they need God, especially since the Word says God never leaves us or forsakes us. So He's always with us. I know a lot of people say when you sin, you know, you're separated from God. And that's not correct. Because God never leaves you or forsakes you. He's always there. Now, He might have to stand back while you're doing some dumb things. All of us. But He's always ready. He's a gracious, wonderful, good God. Amen. And I preached this message, and it was titled, you ready? "We are not," you can just do these, this, "not movable." Say that with me. We are not movable. So let's read this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and go all the way to verse 58. 15, 1 Corinthians, I've got to get there. And I just keep it turning till you get to verse 58. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Look at 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren." Now look at me. That's talking to believers, okay? If Jesus is Lord, he's talking to you individually. And again, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, He needs to be. Say amen to that. There's no reason to live in this world without a Savior. You're going to have to do everything on your own, and we don't need to do that. So He's talking to brethren, to believers. And He says this, "Be," and we're going to emphasize this first word, "steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor," everything you do for God, "your labor is not in vain in the Lord," you see. Now, in Las Vegas, at the National, I mean, they give $10 million away. I mean, one calf roper, good boy, rodeoed with my son in high school rodeo, Region 10, Hamilton, Texas. He made over $500,000. The all-around champ, oh, Stetson Wright, heck of a bull rider, bronc rider, living in Utah. Whole family is very, very talented. You see a blue shirt, pay attention. They know how to ride. The all-around champ, he was gaining on $1 million until there was a little controversy. And you had to watch the full rodeo to know the controversy. How many of you watched it? The controversy for the rest of you people. that may not get the Cowboy Channel, no big deal, is in the bronc riding, in the saddle bronc riding, you have to mark your horse out, which means you've got to get these feet above the shoulder of your horse. And when it's there and he plants his feet the very first jump, they plant their feet, then you can start spurring. Better you spur, the more money, the more points you get. Well, they've had so much controversy in different areas of rodeo that they now do, just like football, they do a review. If there's a mistake, they want to catch it. And all of us that went, we know by watching what they said were 12 cameras, we could tell that he marked this horse out. But the judge, I know all the judges, by the way, they're good folks and they don't mean to do bad. But he was about here, and the horse came out about here. So when the horse comes out, the right shoulder is not in view of the judge. He was just in the wrong spot for some reason. And by the time he got over there, it was already on the second jump when he started spurring. So he throws a yellow flag. And that's disqualification. Now, it was supposed to go to a review. I know the two judges that are in the review box. They are very good men. For some reason, they said he didn't mark the horse out. Or they didn't change the call. Let's just say it that way. Ooh, Jesus, it caused some controversy. Because there was millions watching TV. And then, not only the millions that were watching, primarily Western people, because you got to be Western to get the Cowboy Channel. And you got to pay a little bit more, probably, to get the Cowboy Channel. If not, go get the Cowboy app. And you can watch anything on your phone, rodeo-wise. I mean, you'll get to see all of us at the rodeo coming up. And they didn't change this call. Wow. And it cost him from doing a three-peat. And a three-peat is winning three world champions. He won the bull riding. He won the all-around. And he would have won because he didn't get bucked off. I mean, he come in third by just a little bit because of that one horse getting a zero. It was controversy. Well, I began to preach. And by the way, I was asked on, I think it was Friday night, to come speak to all of the contestants. We call it Power Up. I helped start Power Up in college rodeo. And the Rough Stock kids and the Timed Event kids before a college rodeo would come together and we would pray right before the performance. It didn't matter who was watching. We would pray and we would lift up the name of Jesus. And they all came, boy. It was big. Well, they do that at the national finals. Just no one knows about it. There's a big tent outside. Until this year, it's always horseback. And they're on their horses warming up. And then by states, they come into the Thomas and Mack and they're introduced, all those contestants. This year, because of a virus, they got into some horses in the barrel racing at Waco that a lot of ladies were at. They shut down all the horses and they made all the contestants walk in and they formed two lines, if most of y'all saw that. Well, before they did that, we powered up. And I just began to speak. And you know what I spoke on? Y'all should know. Psalms 23. Because I preached on it for months here. The Lord is my shepherd. And boy, and I got them fired up. But how many of you know with a trial like that, you can get moved one direction or another? I mean, think about your life. Anything that you've gone through, football or rodeo or a marriage or health, finances, a job. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And when you're going through a trial that the Word says or a tribulation, you can be tempted to be moved into anger, into fear, into doubt, into unbelief, if you want to be. Or you can do what the Word says and be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor's not in vain in the Lord, you see. So I begin to study out this word called steadfast. You know what it means? Firm and unwavering, loyal, and firmly fixed in your faith, belief, and purpose. In other words, standing firm in the midst of a trial or tribulation. All of us are not exempt from a trial and a tribulation. Say amen to that. Because I don't care how much of a preacher you are or not, all of us go through the valley of the shadow of death. We just got to figure out how to deal with the trial and the tribulation. Are we going to let it move us to unbelief? The days of Babylon? Before you gave your life to Jesus? Or are we going to stay immovable? Are we going to stay planted on the rock, which is the true foundation, Jesus? Say amen. You see, there's something about standing firm in the midst of a trial. Now, if I told all that group, we have a great crowd at the national finals. I mean, a big old crowd, and I could have went through that whole group just like here, and I could probably ask who has a testimony about something that's gone on in your life. And I'm sure probably if you were brave enough, most everybody could stand up and say, well, let me tell you what I went through. Most everybody knows if you've been to this church plenty of times, you would probably hear my testimony. Because in college, being the person that led Bible study about the first 6-7 months of school was the guy, because of a heartbreak, that then the party was at my house, 605 Runnels, Big Spring, Texas. And it was a wild time for 2 solid years, you see. You know why? Because I was movable. When a heartbreak happened to me, I could have either gone the way mom and dad had trained me up, remember, in the ways of the Lord. When they get old, they won't depart. Or I could choose to go the opposite direction. And I was moved the opposite direction for 2 years. Again, the party was at my house. You see, in the midst of a trial, we need to stand firm. Because the trials seem, and it might be because of social media, I don't know, but it seems like the trials and tribulations are getting a little stronger. But not for the believer. You hear me? Not for a true believer, because when you're a true believer, I'm not talking about not falling, because we've fallen before and fallen short, right? But when you understand the Word of God and you're steadfast and immovable, the times you've spent in the Word of God will not return void. Every time you come to this church or you come to Bible study or you've received the Word of the Lord through studying at home or just your labor, it's not going to be in vain, because every seed that you've sown, there's that word seed again. I've been preaching about seed for 35 years, y'all. But you know what the seed is? The Word of God. And when we stand on God's Word and we're steadfast in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a tribulation, we're immovable, that's when you live in victory and not just, there's the victim again. You see, there's something about standing firm in the midst of a trial. And no matter how bad it might be, the believers are mature enough to go through the valleys and come out on that victorious side. Say amen, y'all. Because we need this message today. We need to know that your God, through the Word of God, that is yes and amen, will work for you today. Now, you might be here this morning and you're going through a little tough time. I want you to know it's time to be steadfast. You stay hooked. When I begin to really study this out, all it means to be steadfast is standing on the truth, even when you're tempted to give up. Remember that old lady, older lady, not old, but older? You got to know how to speak, y'all. Because you call someone old and you may lose your life. But the good news is there's enough believers in here. Y'all raise me from the dead, please. Amen. A lady kept confessing. And I know the minister that where this actually happened. And she kept confessing. She said, "Preacher, I just can't die. I just keep living." He said, "That's your problem." She said, "What?" She said, "Did you hear me? I'm ready to go home to heaven, and I just keep living." And he said, "That's right. That's your problem." It took several minutes of her saying over and over, because that was her confession to all of her family. She was ready to go home to the Lord. She lived a great life. She wanted to go to heaven. But she kept confessing, "I just keep living. I just keep living. I just keep living. I just keep living." You see, that's a principle. That's a seed being sown, y'all. And guess what she did? She kept living. Until she got the revelation from this preacher. And she goes, "Oh, wait." She said, "Okay. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the family in." And she did. And she told all of her family. They thought she had Alzheimer's. She told all the family, "Hey, y'all, I'm going to eat a meal on Thursday. And at noon, I'm going to sit in the chair and I'm going to go to heaven." And of course, you know the family. They're like, "Uh-oh, mom's lost it." But guess what happened at noon? The Bible says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. So when we're going through a trial and tribulation, this thought came to my mind because there's a lot of religious people that were like, "Oh, come on. Okay. All through the Word of God, when you speak to the mountain and command the mountain to be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say, that it'll come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth," in the King James. There's something about what you're speaking. And if you speak the truth of the Word of God, it's the truth that makes you free. Do I need to clap for myself? Huh? This is good news, y'all. You're like, "Oh, wow, this is great." The point is in order to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and your labor that is not in vain, you're going to have to continue over and over and over to speak the Word of God. Not what the world says. I'll never forget going to a store and saying, "How you doing?" to a person. And then they said how they were doing. It was pretty negative. And then they asked me how I was doing. And then they said this, "What do you think about the economy?" And I said this. I said, "Well, I'm not participating." They backed up because then that was a door open, right? "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I've just chosen not to participate in the economy of the world." They asked me why. So I told them, "Well, I'm a seed sower. I'm a Christian." "Oh, really?" "Yeah. You know, when you're a seed sower, you operate, and you're a Christian, you're in the kingdom of God, you operate by His kingdom. And His kingdom is not the economy of the world. Because gold and silver are up and down. Oil is up and down. The stock market is up and down. But if you live by the economy of God, through sowing and reaping, I'll show you someone that owed no man but to love them." You see, a lot of times we have choices to be movable and moved away from the truth. "Well, that tithing stuff don't work. That healing stuff doesn't work, you know. Because I've prayed and I'm still sick. That's your problem. Y'all get it? That's your problem. Why don't you call those things that be not, as Matthew says, the truth? Why don't you start saying, well, I'm healed in Jesus' name. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Your flesh may not feel it. But the more you say it, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm happy when everything around me is going away. You see, there's something about a few things that we need to talk about, and I'm going to probably talk about most of them next week because the time is gone. And next week, when we get back here, and I want you to all come, we're going to start talking about how to be, and there's five things that I'm going to give you. And I'm going to give them to you right now, but then I'm going to explain every single one of them next Sunday. All because of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 58. Being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. I mean, you got to know that faith has to rise up and know that your labor, your belief in the Word of God will not be in vain. Not in the Lord. Mm-mm. And these five are the way you're steadfast and immovable is that you live by an unchanging loyalty in your God. That you have a resilience. I mean, I'm talking about the ability to endure. Amen. That you have a firmness in action. That number four, you have God's character. You know, all through the Word of God, the Bible says, be an imitator of Jesus. And then number five, that you're rooted in grace. Woo-hoo. You're rooted in grace. We're not talking about holier than thou, goody two-shoe. Oh, thank God for the grace of God. Man, especially when the thought comes to give up, to be moved, and you say, nope. I'll end with this story. Most of you know, it's been, how long, Mom? 25 plus years ago. It might even been, okay, so I'm 50, almost 7. And this happened when I was about 20, when I was sick for 7 years. I wasn't married, and 7 years of sickness. Anything I ate, my insides would begin to cramp. And after 7 years, I finally went to the hospital. They took out 16 inches of intestine and a little bit of the colon. And then, and most of you know, the doctor said, going to have to take medicine for the rest of your life. And he even declared that you'd probably have to stop riding horses and rodeo and tend to this disease called Crohn's. I had a decision right there. I could either believe the report of the doctor, educated man. Most of y'all know I have lots of doctors in our family. Let's see, three of them are coming to our house Tuesday or Wednesday. Three doctors. I believe in doctors. Listen to me carefully. But I don't believe in the doctor being the final authority or report in my life. Because I would rather believe in the great physician who created that doctor that we believe in. Okay? And the educated man came in and said, son, you have a disease called Crohn's. He was trying to wake me up from the anesthesia. You got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. You're going to have to manage it for the rest of your life. If not, you're going to have to take out more intestine until you finally die. And I had enough of the truth of the Word of God, my dad being a pastor since 1970. That I said, no, thank you. I don't receive that. And he said it again. Remember? He said, son, did you hear me? You've got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but we can manage it. I said, mm-mm. They wheeled me to my room, hoses down my throat. Mom and Dad showed up, Lubbock, Texas, and said, the man come in one time. And he said, I don't know if you understood, I was the surgeon that took out 16 inches of intestine, son, and a little bit of your colon. That's not good. He said, you got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. I had these tubes down my throat. And I still, with the agreement of my mom and dad, I go, mm-mm. And he left and never came back. Okay, listen. The fact was, yeah, I better do it this way. It was a fact I was diagnosed with Crohn's. But the truth is what I believe in the Word of God. Okay? And the truth is, by Jesus' stripes, you know, before he was crucified, he was beat with a cat of nine tails. Before Jesus' stripes, the Bible says, or by his stripes, I'm healed. I decided to believe the truth more than the fact. And if you believe the truth of the Word of God more than you believe the fact of what you see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, but we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by the five physical senses, y'all, as a believer. We are moved. Now, you can be. You can be moved to that. Or you can believe the truth of the Word of God. And if you believe the truth, all things are possible to him that believes. If you believe the truth will override the fact. I've never taken one pill in all these years, y'all. Why? Because I was healed by Jesus' stripes. Okay. The point is, I'm trying to get us to not be movable to fear, which is the opposite of faith. Man, you don't hear all this stuff in denominational churches that I grew up in. You hear about salvation, thank God for that. But I want to know how to live after salvation. You need to get saved though first, right? I need to not be movable. That's exactly what this word is talking about. Let's be steadfast and immovable. Because you're going to be moved, especially when we're all cooking and cooking and cooking. My wife goes, she probably said this to you, Mom. She said it to me. She said, you know, all we do when all the family gets together is cook and then clean. And then the minute we clean, we start cooking again. I said, I understand. So there's going to be some temptation to be upset and give out. But you know what? Don't be moved. Don't be moved. Be steadfast. Immovable in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that your word is yes and amen. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. And when we come to church, we are to be lifted up and built up. And Father, thank you that we can be immovable. We can be steadfast because we believe the truth of your word. So Father, help us. Help us daily. Study, believe the truth, read it for our own eyes, get it into our spirit so that no matter what happens tonight, as we leave this ranch, Father, your word is still truth and we need to be immovable. We need to be live by a steadfastness. So thank you for the word this morning in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Again, I'll never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So quickly, I want you to think about something. What would happen to you if you left this earth and died? And I'm not speaking death on you. I'm just wanting you to think about something. What would happen to you if the Bible was true? And I always say it this way because it makes sense. The Bible is true. When it says you're going to stand before God one day, the Bible calls it the Great Judgment Day. And when you stand before God, and all of us will stand individually before God, what is He going to say to you? Let me help you. If Jesus is your Lord, Romans 10:9, you've confessed Him with your mouth that He's Lord and believed in your heart that He was raised, that God raised Him from the dead. If Jesus is your Lord, you'll be saved, born again. And when you stand before God, Jesus will have this book called the Book of Life. And your name will be written, the Bible calls it recorded, in that book. And Jesus will look to the Father and say, Father, Corey Ross gave his heart to me May the 10th, 1979. He was 10 years old. You know what God's going to say to me when I stand before God? He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter. Not because I'm a preacher. That don't mean anything. I'm just doing what God's called me to do. It's because I gave my heart to the one we're fixing to celebrate, what, on Thursday? His birth. It's Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus, May the 10th. And God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter heaven, the rest, the joy of the Lord. Is that what He's going to say to you? Because there's another place called hell. And if you choose that place, it's going to be your choice. But I'm preaching that you don't. I'm saying the Word of God in Deuteronomy says God sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And He helps us and He says, choose the blessing and life so that thou and thy seed will prosper. I'm setting before you Jesus. You're going to have to receive Him as Lord. So here's what we're going to do. If you choose not to receive Him, that's where God says, depart from me. That place called hell. Please don't choose that. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now by praying a prayer with all of us. All of you believers, I want you to pray this prayer. And most of you know why I've said it over and over and over. You're not getting saved again if you're born again. You're just learning the prayer. That's why I have you pray it. You're learning how to lead people to Jesus that won't come to church. But they need to give their heart to the Lord. And you'll be the one that leads them to Jesus. So if you pray this prayer over and over, you'll learn how to lead people to Jesus. They have questions, then you call somebody. And we'll get into the Word of God and help you. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with all of us and give your heart to Jesus. And we're going to pray it out loud. Y'all ready? Again, if you're here this morning, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. I ask you to ask Jesus to come into your life by praying this prayer. And again, all of us are going to pray it with you. And let's pray it out loud. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of every sin. Because I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, on this earth, I need a Savior. I need the Word of God. I'm teachable. I want to come to church. And that's how I learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, if you just prayed that simple prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, the Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing. But here's what I want you to do, to never be ashamed or afraid to let people know that you just gave your heart to Jesus. So with no one looking around, because I'm not going to embarrass you and I'm not going to have you come down to the front of the church like I did. It's not necessary. I love it. But right where you're at or even watching, if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus and you never had, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then put it right back down. And here's why I ask you to do this. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus says? He says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. I always say it like this, never be ashamed of Jesus being your Lord. If you just prayed that prayer, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and let me see it and then just put it right back down. Would you do that in Jesus' name? And it's going to take boldness to declare, Jesus, I prayed. Thank you for being my Lord. And that hand just goes straight up. So let's do it at three, if that was you. Ready? Boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Honored. Thank you, ma'am. Glory be to God. I'm going to give you a Bible. Just take that Bible. Thank you so much. And we're not, it doesn't matter how many times you've been at church. Did everybody get a Bible that raised your hand? If you didn't, just slip it up. No one's looking yet. And then just put it right back down. I want to make sure everybody confesses Jesus before men. All right, look at me. It's 12. Listen. Look at the phone. It's 12:09 and people still got saved. Right. I mean, he went long, you know. Well, thank you, Jesus. It took that long. I spend more time on the salvation plan, y'all. That's what happens when you travel. And, you know, you got to get people born again, but they got to understand it first. Amen. Y'all three that raised your hand, if there was more, I'm sure the ushers are going to let me know. But I know there was at least three that you're now my brother and sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, I need you. Preachers still hurt, y'all. But when you're hurting, look at all this family. Just look around. We're all family. We ought to be building each other up. Amen? And you got a lot of family. So I say Merry Christmas. I say I can't, not no Bible study until like January the 6th. Because of Christmas, New Year, no Bible study. So spend it with your family. But then after that, we'll do a Tuesday Bible study.